have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe, and I am Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about Social Security. We talk about investments, your 401k. We talk about estate planning. You name it. If it has to do with retirement planning, we talk about it. And we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week's going to be no exception because we have a lot of boring financial stuff to talk about. And but before, what, Jack? It is boring financial stuff, but we try to make it entertaining. That's our job. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am, as I mentioned, a senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years.
I feel good.
And I don't just feel good. I feel awesome. I feel great. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And recently, because of the aforementioned beloved and most valued clients, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually now for the seventh consecutive year. That's seven in a row, Jack, just in case you didn't know what consecutive meant. Anyway, so we are so proud, but without our clients, we would be nowhere. So all you clients, we thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. So first of all, let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, as we've been chronicling for you over the last several months, the two big monster gorilla in the room issues that the stock markets and the bond markets are looking at, in our opinion, are the trade war issues with China and then the Federal Reserve. And we've talked about that. So this week, last week, we talked about the Federal Reserve and what they're doing and how if they lower interest rates for the first time in a new cycle, it is historically 100% going back to 1971 when they've done it in a non-recessionary period, which we're I don't think we're in a recession right now. So if they start lowering interest rates, it has been a bullish signal 100% of the time when they did that. But I want to talk about the other gorilla in the room, which is the China and Trump administration tariff stuff, right? And I'm going to tell you why President Trump may not want a deal with China. And this may all just be theater. And therefore, the markets, the stock markets and the bond markets, are going to be volatile for a while. You know, every time there's a news conference, we're going to see a 400-point up and another 400-point down, depending on whether they're happy or sad or angry or shaking hands or ignoring whatever they're doing after they've had a meeting, as in right now with the G20 stuff that's going on. So we'll talk about why President Trump may not want a deal with China and why you should strap on your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy ride for the next few months. Also, this week, I want to talk with you about the seven mistakes that mutual fund investors make, okay? And there are more, I'm sure, but these are the seven ones that we identify as the most common mistakes that investors make. And if you own a mutual fund, you probably are making one of these mistakes, and we want to disavow you of that mistake, or more than one. Now, as we do every week, we talk about Social Security. So in our third segment, we're going to answer some Social Security questions. And my email address is ken@rpoa.com. So it's ken@rpoa.com. That's Retirement Planners of America. And you can send me your Social Security questions, and I will endeavor to answer them on the air. Now, this week, I actually have two very complicated questions. But we'll endeavor to simplify those and learn from the answers that we give to those questions. So we'll help you to maximize your Social Security benefits if you're going to file for that and you're in that age group between 62 and 70, let's say. Now, also, I want to talk with you, because we work primarily with people who are retired or retiring soon, we have a different philosophy on how you manage your clients' money. Okay, so if you were 25 years old, we would be all about taking risk. You know, we'd be all about growth. We'd be aggressive. We've got a long-term perspective. We got all that. But we primarily work with people who are within 5 years of retirement or who are 5 years into the retirement. Okay, so that 10-year period. During that period, you are a different investor, in our opinion, than you were when you were 25, 30, or even 40 years old. Now, you have to think about preservation of principal. You've worked all your life to accumulate the money you're going to retire on, and now you have to preserve that. And I want to talk with you about why preservation of principal is job number one. Growth is important. Income is important. There's lots of things that your investments are supposed to do that are important. But preservation of principal is job number one. And I want to go over that with you because if you understand that, I believe it'll go a long way towards helping you to have a successful and a lot of peace of mind during your retirement. So now, you know what, Jack? Most shows would actually stop right there. I mean, most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me!
Yeah, right. But on this show, do we stop right there? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before. And therefore, at about 10 till, we're going to talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor, which is also called estate planning. Now, this week, we're actually going to not talk about greedy, unwashed, undeserving. We're going to talk about a very deserving heir, which may be a charity that you want to benefit. All right? So we're going to talk about how to create a trust that will eliminate capital gains, provide you with an income for the rest of your life, and benefit charity. Yeah, you like apples? How about them apples? Okay? Get rid of estate income taxes, get rid of and help a charity. Gosh, that's all good stuff. So we're going to talk about that at about 10 till. We have a great show, but I got to just give you an update because, you know, I get this. People send me emails and questions about, you know, here I'm a financial guy, retirement planning, all this stuff, and they want to know about my dog. All right? They want to know about Noodle, my schnoodle. So I have a puppy. She's a little over 1 year old. 1 year old now. She weighs all of 75 pounds. Standing on her heels, she's as tall as my wife is. She can put her paws on my wife's shoulders and lick her in the face. She has so much energy. And, you know, it's hot right now. And so we had the sprinkler on. And, man, you should have seen her. She was, like, zooming all over the yard. And every puddle was like a stop. She ran from one puddle to the next and splashed in it and then ran to the next one and splashed in it and running around in circles. It was hilarious. You know, reminded me of my daughters when they were that age. For those of you who remember little kids that ran around in the puddles, that's what that was like. Anyway, let's talk about why President Trump may not want a deal with China and why, because of that, I anticipate that we're going to see a lot of volatility around the whole China tariff thing for a long time still, for several months to go. And here's the reason. If you look at the polls, the one issue that Democrats, that Republicans, moderates, liberals, people in the middle, everybody seems to agree on is that we need to curb China. You know, if you look at the Democratic debates, there was not a single mention of, you know, Trump is doing a bad thing by going after China. The polls are all there. The American people believe this is the right thing to do. So if you resolve the issue, you've taken off the table the one thing that everybody agrees with you that needs to be done. So in my view, from a re-election standpoint, Donald Trump is going to extend out this whole thing so that he can still lead the charge. And if you think about, you know, how do you rally the troops? You have to have a common enemy. You find something that everybody agrees, that's the bad guy. We got to go get that bad guy. And then everybody rallies behind you because you're the leader that's going to go get that bad guy. So the Chinese are going to be the bad guy, in my opinion, during the election of next year. So why would he resolve that issue now? The other thing that's also happening is that as this drags out, more and more countries are starting to get on board. The Europeans are starting to get on board. Some of the other smaller countries are starting to get on board because everybody does believe that China is a threat, you know, from a standpoint of technology theft, from the standpoint of currency manipulation, and all those kind of things. So, because of all of the above, And also it keeps him in the news, which I think we could agree Donald Trump likes that. Therefore, I don't think we're going to see this thing resolved anytime soon. I think you're going to drag it out, and that's going to cause volatility in the markets. But you know what? When it does get resolved around somewhere around election time, guess what's going to happen? The stock market will zoom up 1,000 points, in my opinion, and he'll head into the election with a 1,000-point rise in the market and say, see you guys, I'm your hero. I solved the China problem and your 401ks are up. Reelect me. How's that for a great story to tell if you're him? So that's my opinion and I stick to it. So what do you do about that? Well, the important thing is to be disciplined. Okay. The important thing is to be diversified. The important thing is to, you know, not to get panicked if the market's up or down too much. Now, you must also, if it does start to go down dramatically, if the trade talks break off and turn really bad, then yes, I do think that you should take action. But until then, I think you should be invested, take advantage of the opportunities that are out there, and build up your retirement plan so that you can have a nice income once you are retired, or if you're already there, you can support your income. So if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, and there are a lot of you, I know that, then what I encourage you to do is to go to our website. It's rpoa.com, okay? rpoa.com is Retirement Planners of America. And when you're there, we have podcasts, we have articles, we have videos, and we also have two what I'll say are calls to action, okay? One is you can sign up for one of our seminars or our webinars, and you can watch that. Or you can go and sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners, and they'll sit down and review your entire financial plan at no charge or obligation and see if we can help you, and we'd love to do that if that's possible. So all of that is at rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about 7 mistakes that mutual fund investors make, and I bet you you're making one or more of those. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients.
I love it!
Certainly do love it. And I am a senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. So we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired, retiring soon. And if that's you, then we're talking to you. As they said, and remember the taxi, Robert De Niro, you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Anyway, I'm talking to you. And in 2015, Forbes named our financial advisory firm one of the top 100 wealth managers, and we are very proud of that. But you know what? Without our clients, we would be absolutely nowhere. So all you clients, we love you, love you, love you. We're going to talk now about the 7 mistakes that mutual fund investors make, and there are probably more, but these are the 7 we're going to isolate. And I venture to say that you, dear listener, probably make one or more of these. Okay, so let's go through those. First of all, number one is failing to control expenses. Okay, so you want to look at what the expenses are in your investments to make sure that you're not too much of an expense situation. Number two is you ignore risk. And one of the things that a lot of people do is they want to invest in the thing that's making money at the time. You know, we try to find the sector. You know, we want to be, and the biggest egregious error, I would say, was back in the day when everybody was chasing technology stocks, you know, in Y2K or leading up to the crisis in 08, people were chasing real estate and banking stocks and that kind of thing. And so the thing that's making money at the time, everybody piles into and ignores the risk of those investments, because usually if they've run up so high, guess what? They're probably the one that's going down next. The one you ought to be looking at maybe should be the one that's down right now, not the one that's up, okay? And that's also, so ignoring the risk of the investments that you're taking, being overly aggressive. And number three is also tied in with that risk, and it's that chasing of returns that I was just talking about. You buy something just because it's going up. So you have to look at the internal risk of the fund that you're investing in. And there are many places you can go to see that. You can see the alpha of the fund, which is the excess return over its peers and its that it makes. And you can look at beta, which is the excess returns that the mutual fund is making over and above the stock market itself. Now, it could also be negative. It could be making less returns than it should and less returns than the market. Number four, ignoring fund size. Okay, now this doesn't necessarily apply if you're investing in ETFs or index funds, but if you're investing in a managed fund, you want to look at the size of that fund, in my opinion. Because, for example, let's say you want to invest in a small cap fund. And so you have a manager that's really good at that, and they've been doing very well. And because they've been doing so well, they've attracted a lot of money. Well, the problem that that creates for the manager is that the more money comes in, they have to put that money to work. And they may have had, you know, their 10 favorite stocks that they bought, and that's why that fund did so well. And suddenly they get $1 billion that came in the door because they're doing well. Well, they got to invest $1 billion. They're already invested in their 10 favorite stocks, so what are they going to do now? They got to start buying unfavorite stocks, if you understand what I'm saying. And next thing you know, the returns start hurting because they have to get the money to work. If it just sits in cash, the returns will hurt and everybody will leave. So that's an issue that happens when a fund gets too big. Number five is style drift, or also it's index drift. Okay, so what you want to look at is how well does the fund that you're investing in track the sector that you're trying to invest in. So for example, let's say that you want to invest, and I'll pick on technology again. Let's say you want to buy a fund or an ETF that invests in technology stocks. Well, what you want to do is make sure how well does that fund or that index fund that you're buying or that ETF track with the investments you want. Because believe it or not, one of the most difficult things that index funds and ETFs have is to track very closely the investments that they're invested in. That's for a different show, but trust me on that one. Different ETFs track the indexes that they're in differently, and so do different index funds, and you have to look at that. Number six, be careful of narrowly focused funds. Because again, what you're trying to do there when you do that, and since I'm using technology, I'll pick on it again. If you decide, I think technology is the thing right now, and I'm going to go invest in that, you're making a bet. And we believe that for people who are retired or retiring soon, making those kind of bets, that's not your game anymore. Your game should be diversification, spreading the risk around, not concentrating it, and finding sectors that you want to specifically overweight. We don't believe that you should do that. So don't let that happen. And finally, number seven, and this again goes to managed funds, and that is not knowing who the fund manager is. And some of you listening to the show may be old enough to remember John Wooden. Right, John Wooden was the coach of the UCLA Bruins, and they won something like 81 games in a row, and they won all these national championships. I think it was 8 national championships in a row. Some incredible success like that. And then that coach, John Wooden, retired, and the Bruins have never repeated what happened there. So you can definitely say that their success, to a great degree, was because of their coach and how he coached the team. Well, a mutual fund manager is a lot the same thing. So if a fund is very successful and it's doing very well and you invest in it, but then the manager retires or gets lured away to manage a different fund, and now you got a new person in there, the fund that you're in may not perform the way it did under the former manager. Okay, so make sure you know who the manager of the fund is, and are they new? Have they changed? Are the returns that you think this fund, you know, this fund has produced over the years, is the person that made those still there? Okay, don't just go by the name of the fund, go by the manager. That's what you want to look at. So that is your 7 tips on what to look for, and hopefully you do all that.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Well, you're welcome, Tom. I'm glad I had the talk too. Now, let me tell you that if you are over 50, if you are retired, or you are retiring soon, then we would love to meet with you. We'd love to educate you. We'd love to help you to have a successful retirement. And so if you go to our website, it is rpoa.com. That stands for Retirement Planners of America. And if you go to our website, you can sign up for one of our seminars. We have seminars near you. And at the seminars, we have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. And they are 1 inch thick. They're 6 inches in diameter. These cookies are a meal in and of themselves, folks. You have to bring an appetite with you because you can't eat more than one. It'll fill you up. You will go to cookie heaven and you'll learn about your finances.
Wow!
Wow is right. But in case cookies are not enough to lure you there, they may be. You know, I'm not saying they're not, but maybe they're not enough. Maybe some of the topics we'll talk about. So for example, we'll talk about, do you have enough money to retire on? We call that your magic number, and we'll help you calculate that. What are five strategies to reduce your income taxes? How do you get cash flow in retirement? When do you take Social Security? All those kind of things. We'll talk about a ton of stuff at our seminars. We also have videos, podcasts, articles, tons of retirement information on our website, rpoa.com. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security strategies. So if you are getting ready to file for Social Security, you'll need to stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. Hi. If you saw what goes on behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen, you'd be laughing too, but I can't tell you what it is because this is radio and we got to stick to the aforementioned task. So let me tell you, I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. I've been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I am the senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. So our clients are people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that is you, then this show is designed for you. And everything we do is around helping you to achieve the two goals that we have for our clients. One is we want you to have financial peace of mind. We want you to be able to sleep at night, not worry about all this boring financial stuff. And then secondly, we want your money to last as long as you do. Okay? We want you to have money when you are really, really old. And Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors actually for the third time this year. And we're very honored and flattered by that. So one of the things that comes up, I would say, almost in every conversation that we have with clients is Social Security. And I would say probably 80% of the time we have some conversation about when, how, and all that kind of stuff. So one of the things that I'm doing on this show is I'm inviting you, dear listener, to send me your questions, and I will endeavor to answer them on the air. Okay, so here's a question. Now, this one's a little bit complicated, so stay with me on this, okay? So this is, he says, I will be 66 this December. My wife, and I want to, he says, I'll be 66 in December, and I want to start drawing Social Security when I turn 66, and it'll be $2,300. So that's a pretty good check. Good job. Now, he says, my wife will be 66 in August of this year. So she'll be 66 4 months ahead of him. She wants to draw her benefits at age 66 as well. Now, her benefit is $545. Okay, so at 66, she can draw hers and get $545. 4 months later, he'll be 66. He can draw his, he'll get $2,305. So she wants to draw her spousal benefit, which is half of his, but because her benefit is less than half of his, right? And as I've talked about on the show, you can get half of your spouse's or your own, whichever is the higher, assuming you qualify. So the question he has is this: does she have to wait until December before she can draw anything? Can she draw her benefits from August to December, and then in December when I start drawing mine, then can she switch over to get half of mine? And which one can she do, all right? So the answer is, that's what she needs to do. She needs to file for hers when she turns 66 in August. So she'll get it for August, September, October, November. And then in December, she needs to then switch and file under yours and get half of yours, which will give her $1,150 instead of the $545, okay? Now, I want to tell you something. The spousal benefit is not automatic. You need to go and file it. If you don't file it, they're not going to do it for you. So if she files in August, in December, put it on your calendar. I don't think I'll have to remind you because you're going to get an extra $600 a month. I think you'll remember to do it. But just in case you're distracted, make sure you put it on the calendar and you go file because they will not automatically do that. Okay? So this Social Security stuff, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know, if you go on the Social Security website, you'll see it says there are 9,100 ways to file for Social Security. Depending on your age, depending on your income, if you're married or not, all those kind of things. It's very complex. And if you do it by yourself, I think the odds are high that you will not do the strategy that's the most beneficial to you. So here's what I want you to do. Go to our website It is RPOA.com. Okay, that's Retirement Planners of America. So RPOA.com. And when you're there, you can watch videos about Social Security, when to take, how to take. You can read articles about it as well. We post all of our articles and things like that on there. And also, while you're there, you can sign up to go to one of our seminars where we go into a lot of detail about Social Security. We have Social Security seminars as well and webinars. Or if you'd like, you can also sign up to meet with one of our retirement planners. And what we want to do in that, if you come in to visit with us, no charge or obligation. What we want to do is review your entire retirement plan, not just Social Security. And if we can help you, that is fantastic. And if not, that's fine too. So either way, there is no charge, there's no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Well, Bogey is right. It is absolutely the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Now, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is to go to one of our seminars. Now, we have seminars near you. If you can hear my voice, there's a seminar near you most likely. And at the seminars, we have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies there, okay? Now, let me tell you about the chocolate chunk. You notice I did not say chip, okay? Because chip is made, chocolate chips are made with wax. They're made with paraffin. This is gross. You do not want to eat paraffin. Okay, you want real chocolate that forms its own shape, that melts in your mouth, gets all over your face, gets on your clothes and on your notes, and the person you're with at the seminar is looking at you like, what is wrong with you? Are you 5 years old? You got chocolate all over, and you're like, yes, I love my cookies, and you're learning about your finances at the same time. I mean, this is, you can't get this anywhere. You got to go to our website and sign up. So RPOA.com is where you go. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why preservation of principal is job number one if you are retired or retiring soon. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. So our clients are people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to share information. We'd love to help you, educate you. We have two goals. One is for you to have financial peace of mind. We want you to sleep at night, enjoy. We call your retirement your second childhood without parental supervision. So we want you to go play and all of that. And then secondly, and also very importantly, we want your money to last as long as you do. Okay? We want to support the lifestyle that you want for the rest of your life without you ever running out of money. So those are our two goals. And to make that happen, we believe that preservation of principal has to be job number one. Okay? So in other words,
there's no doubt about it.
I think there is no doubt about it. And you know, Financial Times, I just want to say this because no one brags about you if you don't brag about yourself, okay? So I just want to do that. Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors actually for the third time this year. And we're very proud of that. You know, it was my mother's favorite financial publication. And she's unfortunately deceased now, but it would have been a very proud thing for me, for my mother to know that her favorite financial newspaper, which it's kind of like the Wall Street Journal of the world, Financial Times, if you want to look at it that way. And it would have been, I would have been very proud of myself if my mom knew, and maybe she does. But anyway, so preservation of principles, job number one. Why? Well, let me go over the reasons why. There used to be, and now it's not as in favor as it used to be, this thing called the 4% rule. Okay, so basically the 4% rule said that if you have a diversified portfolio, generally speaking, maybe 60% stocks and 40% bonds, and you took out 4% of whatever the principal you have every year to support your lifestyle, that you would never run out of money. Okay, so that was the 4% rule. Well, the 4% rule isn't the 4% rule anymore. Now, a lot of people are saying it's a 2% rule. Well, what happened to the 4% rule? Well, here's what happened. So imagine, my favorite number, as you may know, is $1 million, okay? You remember the guy, what was his name on Austin Powers, the evil guy, Dr. Evil or whatever? $1 million. Okay, so you have $1 million and you're living by the rule of 4%. So 4% of $1 million is $40,000. So you're drawing $40,000 out of your money and you're living on that and all is well. And 2008 comes along, and you have your money invested in the S&P 500 index fund or something similar to that, and your investments lose 57% of their value.
Hasta la vista, baby.
So now what happens? If you're still taking that same 4% out that you were before, okay, if your $1 million is now $500,000 and you're taking the same $40,000 out, guess what just happened to you? You're now taking 8% out. You've doubled the amount you're taking out. Now you're in the danger zone. You're taking way too much out. You have to make 8% to support that. That's very difficult. So what do you have to do? You have to cut your cost of living from 40 down to $20,000 a year to be able to not take too much out. Well, for most people, that's not easy to do, to suddenly cut your cost of living in half because your investments went down. Okay, so the reason why it's now the 2% rule is because we had two bear markets here in the last 20 years. We had Y2K and we had 2008. And both of those, we saw a 49% decline in the S&P and Y2K, 57% in 2008, as I mentioned. And so now, if you want to be safe, they're saying, well, you can't take 4% out, you got to take 2% out. So again, if you have $1 million, you can only take 20,000 out now if you want to be safe. Well, the problem with all of those things, and the reason why that's all happening is because if your principal goes down, you can't take the same amount. You have to reduce the amount you're taking, or you're going to put too much stress on your investments, in my opinion. So what's the answer to that? Well, as I sit here and say, well, what if you adopted a philosophy of I don't want my investments to drop by 50 or 49 or 57%. What if you adopted a philosophy that said, I want to protect myself from those bear markets so that kind of thing doesn't happen? Okay? Now, no strategy can guarantee that you will never lose money. There is no such thing that I know of. But you can have strategies called stop losses. You can have strategies that essentially say, if my investments drop to a certain point, I'm not playing anymore. I'm going to take evasive action. I'm going to get myself out of harm's way. I'm going to go sit on the sidelines and I'm going to wait out the storm. And that's a strategy that we have. We call it buy, hold, and sell. Okay? And so our strategy in November of 2007 said it was time to sell. And we told our clients to get out of the stock markets of all equities. And we did all the people listening to this show back then as well. And those of you who get my market alert email, we said the same thing. Get out, stay safe, wait till the storm passes. That storm ended up lasting a year and a half before we said to get back in. It was a long haul. But you know what? Those who followed our advice did not lose 57% in the stock market because they weren't in it. Now, our strategy is not perfect. In December of last year, we saw the market drop dramatically. And what happened? We reached our stop loss place. We reached the place where we said, we're not playing anymore. We told our clients it's time to get out. Now, what's the cost of that? The cost of that is that if it's not a bear market, you underperform. Okay? But most of our clients feel like, and I should say, I think that our clients feel like that if you mitigate your downside and miss out on a few on the upside, that's okay. At this stage of your life, preserving principal is more important than squeezing every drop of growth out of your investments. You want to make sure your money lasts as long as you do, in my opinion. So it's a different philosophical place to be. And if you're a retired or retiring soon, I really want you to adopt that philosophy, because if you want your money to last as long as you do, you can't be risky. You can't lose large amounts. You got to be more conservative. You got to diversify. You got to do those kind of things. And it's a different place than when you were 30 or 40, or probably even when you were in your late 40s. So how do you do all that? What do you do? Well, there's lots of things available to you on our website. Our website is rpoa.com. RPOA stands for Retirement Planners of America. When you're there, we have videos, articles, we have podcasts, we have webinars on all kinds of topics, including preservation of principal. We also can encourage you to sign up to meet with one of our retirement planners. You can sit down and have a financial plan, and that's at no charge or obligation. You can go to one of our seminars. You can watch webinars. We have lots of stuff on there. It's rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you eliminate capital gains, get an income for life, and benefit charity all at once. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years, and all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired, retiring soon. Such wonderful people. What a wonderful time of life to be thinking about your retirement and what you're going to do and all that kind of stuff. It's just a great time. And we're so thankful that we get to participate and help with that. And Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually for the seventh consecutive year.
To infinity and beyond.
Yes, Buzz. Hopefully when we'll have like the 100th year in a row. Wouldn't that be something? That would put me at 140 or something? Maybe not likely. Anyway, and without our clients, we would be nowhere. So we know that despite the fact that Barron's said that, we put it all, we give it all to our clients. So all you clients, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, this is the part of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. But and that's what we normally do. That's the estate tip of the week time. But this week, we're going to talk about a not greedy, and a very washed, and a very deserving heir, okay? And that would be a charity. So there's a kind of trust that is very interesting, because with this trust, you can benefit the charity you want, you can get an income for the rest of your life, and you can wash away all capital gains that you have associated with that investment. Does that sound interesting to you? Well, we're going to talk about it now, but before we do, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And, of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches and, you know, estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff. It's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags, and we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. Now, this week, we're going to talk about the Charitable Remainder Trust. All right, Charitable Remainder Trust. So, just like the name implies, charitable remainder, right? So what that means is that whatever's left in the trust, the remainder goes to the charity of your choice, okay? Now, let's talk about why this trust can be so interesting. Let's say that you have an asset, an investment, a piece of real estate, for example, or let's use real estate. So you have a piece of real estate, and let's just say you bought that piece of real estate for $100,000 10 years ago. And now it's worth $1 million, okay? So you bought it for $100,000 10 years ago. It's done fantastically well. You bought it in a perfect spot. It's worth $1 million. Now you want to sell it, and you want to get an income from that piece of property, from the proceeds of the sale for the rest of your life. That's what you want to do. Well, let's do the math here. So you sell the property, and you bought it for $100,000. You're selling it for $1 million, so you made a $900,000 profit. Right? And capital gains, let's say you're 20%. So you made that, you got to pay $180,000 in capital gains taxes. So now your million is down that $180,000. So now you've got, what is that, $780,000 left, or $820,000. And now you've got to take the income off that reduced amount. Now, and then upon your death, guess what happens to the money that's still left from your investing? You have to pay taxes on it potentially from an estate tax standpoint. Now, alternative number two is the charitable remainder trust. So what you do is you take that piece of property, that $1 million property, and you put it into the trust. Now, the trust is a charity. So it sells that piece of property for you. How much tax do charities pay? Zero. So we've just saved $180,000 in capital gains taxes. Now, you say to the trust, I want to receive income from this for the rest of my life. So now you're getting the income on the entire million, not on the $820,000 that was left otherwise. So you get a higher income. The trade-off for all of this is that upon your death, whatever's remaining in the trust must go to charity. Okay, that's the downside if you have heirs that you want to leave money to. So you would put money in the charitable remainder trust that your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs will not get. Okay, because upon your death, the income stops and the remainder goes to charity. And so you choose your charity. So this is a kind of trust that can be very interesting for those of you who have, you know, assets that have appreciated a lot since you bought them, and you're concerned about selling them because of the capital gains taxes. Well, this is a way of getting rid of that, getting a nice income, and benefiting a charity.
Cool.
Yeah. You like apples? How about them apples? So now, one of the things I think I mentioned to you is that we are a firm. Our firm is called Retirement Planners of America. And so as the name implies, we work with people who are over the age of 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that is you, we would love to meet with you and see if we can help you, if we can do something to help you. We have two goals. One is for you to have financial peace of mind. And secondly, for your money to last as long as you do. You know, one of the things we say is we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor.
Oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true.
Well, Dorothy, it absolutely is not too wonderful to be true, because it is true. That those are our goals. And therefore, if you go to our website, rpoa.com, rpoa.com, what you'll find there is videos, articles, podcasts where you can educate yourself, where you can entertain yourself. We have all kinds of stuff there. And while you're there, if you are so inclined, you can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners. And we'll sit down with you. We'll go over your entire financial plan. If we can help you, fantastic. If not, we're going to tell you that too. Either way, like I said, no charge or obligation, and we will part friends.
Oh, thank you, Master.
Wow, you got everybody on the show today, Jack. Even Jeannie. Now, also, while you're there, you can sign up to watch one of our webinars, go to one of our seminars. You have tons of stuff that you can do there. So we look forward to having you on our website. It's rpoa.com. All right, we got to wrap this up. I cannot believe how fast this show has gone. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.